Need a team that never lets you down? Who knows how to play the game and is always on the ball? Get in touch with the team at Bunnings Trade. Helping business in their trade.
Grand finals are known for special performances.
Here comes Dusty. He's shaping up for a fourth.
Searle's there. He leaves it for Buddy. Oh!
Around the body goes Chewy Joe.
From inside the centre square. Boys kick the goal.
And in the biggest week in footy, we've brought in these three dead set legends to get you ready for the grand final.
That's pretty normal for us.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Emma Friedman. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends Grand Final Week Edition.
Thank you very much, Radzi. Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you all Grand Final Week 9 to 12 on Triple M. Joey, Jay, Rosie and Emma, good morning on this Tuesday morning, team.
Good morning, Em. Morning, Rosie, Jay-Z. Shocking weather outside. Yeah. It's a horrible day.
But, Nine.
Where's this beautiful spring weather that we're meant to get in Melbourne?
November.
Save it for when we're allowed to actually do stuff.
I'm certain that spring is the most overrated season.
It always rains.
It's a psycho season. Yesterday I'm riding back and it's hailing on me. Somebody's no way I'm riding into work tomorrow morning. Autumn I quite like. Underrated. Spring, overrated.
Do you know how I always know, Em, that it's always raining in spring? Because I always think of the spring carnival. And you know how you always get that one day where like it's Melbourne Cup Day and everyone dashes to get under the marquees? Or that's how I know that when you know,
remember
spring...
Cup Day a few years ago and it actually flooded on Flemington Road. Yes. Could actually get in
I was
to the
there.
Course. So
I
was I. The disaster. Missed the first two races. That blew me up deluxe. I
fake
tell
tan
you that
going everywhere.
Oh, just as Uncle Rich used to say, it turned the Maribyrnong River orange on those days.
Speak for yourself on the tanning front there, Joey. Hey, I got your wholesome content sorted for a Tuesday. I feel like we're going to need a bit of wholesome content today. To be honest with everything that's going on, we saw Ben Cousins at the Brownlow, the champion West Coast player, Joey and Emma. And did you know that he went up to Kiara Bowers, who's the Fremantle AFLW star, yep. Joey, and he said, "Can I have a photo with you? You're my favourite footballer." And so there's this great... This
Turbo, they call her Turbo. She's a freak. Well, she's a gun.
Imagine having Ben Cousins come to you and say, "Can I have your autograph and a photo?" That's how much I love you.
You'd
as
be
a
like, mate, are you right there?
So there's a great photo getting around on social Instagram with Ben Cousins. Fanboying, Kiara Bowers and her teammates.
That so might be a good chat for us at some stage during the weekend. Who's the biggest celebrity you got a photo with? Someone that you went and you've asked over your time and gone up to and said, "Can I please get a photo?"
Yeah.
I feel that was probably in Jay-Z's wheelhouse when he was in university.
Oh, just, could you imagine Jay-Z, going up to someone?
Did you get one with Joey when you interviewed him at the grand final parade all those years ago?
He doesn't remember me, and I'm flat about that. We've got Nick Riewoldt in later, and I'm going to
I guarantee you Rui won't remember it.
Also coming up the show, along with Rui, Dale Morris, Doggies fans. He's going to give us a little bit of a preview as to how he sees the weekend panning out. Joey, you have been casting an eagle eye over Luke Beveridge over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, there's a theme that we've learned in the last day or so on Dead Set Legends and stories, great motivating stories that players hear before final series. What have you noticed this time around?
Yeah, we spoke about the famous Alistair Clarkson, the shark story about Geelong being able to tame the shark, stop it moving forward. And coaches have always been very good at having themes and storytelling to relate to players, to get some cut through and to sort of help with the motivations and the psychological side of football. And it's just been interesting hearing some of the Western Bulldogs players in this final series. We know Bevo's a master, Jay-Z. In the past, he's used a lot of band analogies and bring your instruments and how everyone needs their own instrument to make beautiful music and all those sorts of things. Well, I've just noticed in the last couple of weeks, they've spoken a lot about the Shawshank Redemption, some players.
Oh, what a film.
So, of course, we know about Andy Dufresne, wrongly convicted, sent to jail. Took him 19 years to plan his escape. But then when you look,
how did I come up with this stuff?
But then when you think about it, so I had a look and delve a bit deeper and did some research about the themes of the Shawshank Redemption. And of course, a lot of it is based around the anticipation and excitement of an uncertain conclusion. So he was planning his escape without ever knowing whether it would actually come off.
Come
but
off.
He stuck with it. And don't let bad luck keep you down was another one of the themes when you look at it. Take advantages of the opportunities you have, not the ones you wish you had. Mm. So you think about the Western Bulldogs final series, Jay-Z. They've been all over the country.
Yep.
They've basically been in quarantine for 3-4 weeks. Another theme, of course, of Shawshank Redemption, be valuable to others. A big theme of the friendships and the relationships.
Mm. It's and a that big cute part, little bird as well.
Yeah, the cute bird. Little bird. Yeah. That's right. That's a big part of the Western Bulldogs. You hear them speak about playing for each other, playing for one another, using the time away from home to build those relationships. Shawshank Redemption, have a dream and plan. Break down big projects into small tasks. That's exactly what footballers need to do. The big picture is to win a premiership, but you've got to break it down day by day, a game at a time. You need to take some risks. That is the other big theme. You think about Shawshank Redemptions. You've got to take some risks.
Oh, yes. The poster, yes.
Take a risk. It might fail, but you're never going to succeed if you don't take a risk. And, of course, don't ever stop believing. The big one out of Shawshank Redemption. So I just thought it was really fascinating that amongst the playing group, if you can continue to use that theme, and we've heard other coach. I mean, look, the GWS Giants had the one earlier in the year when they went down to Geelong, the famous ice hockey game.
Miracle on Ice. Yep.
As a theme, and then they were able to sing sort of parts of the song and chanting after games. Well, the Western Bulldogs, just interesting. I've heard them talk about the Shawshank Redemption. And if you take the themes out of that movie and apply it to their situation in the finals, or maybe it can be another masterstroke from Luke Beveridge and take them all the way.
Oh, I absolutely love that, Joey.
I bet if you find Bevo's player profile from the record, it'd have Shawshank Redemption as his favourite film. There was a lot of them at that time.
Yeah. Can someone dig that up?
I've had a bit of a Google, but I need to do more Googling.
I reckon if there's some listeners out there at home who have got, 30 records stashed in a corner, maybe can you just go and have a squiz because we'd like to get confirmation on that.
And I can picture sort of Libba, with a pickaxe in his mouth, sort of scraping away, tunnelling through for 19 years. But you know who I am in the, I'm sort of more like Brooks, I'm institutionalised. In lockdown, I'm trying to get back. I don't know how to socialise anymore.
I think we're all a bit of Brooks. We're not going to know how to go back to the normal world when we do eventually get there.
All those themes are very applicable to lockdown life. Hey, coming up very shortly, Nick Riewoldt's going to stop by and have a chat about grand final week and our barbecues galore quiz on the way as well. We are with you all grand final week right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition, Triple M.
Now, we were just talking about how the Western Bulldogs have been watching and taking a lot of inspiration from the Shawshank Redemption in terms of
between the lines with that. I'm being told factually. I've just noticed some things in some interviews.
It's a little bit true.
Let's just say that it happened. It's a little bit true. In the ad break, let's be honest, we were just talking about films that you watched when you're at St Kilda to get you up and about, Joey.
Well, I can definitely remember watching Remember the Titans when we were younger. That was a great film. Because Grant Thomas used to be, we used to do a lot of unique things with Grant Thomas. I mean, he was the one that started those overseas training camps, Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah.
He used to always have us over to his house for like steak and beers. And he was the one that taught us all to have our steaks medium rare. When we were all young kids, we're all like medium well done. And Grant Thomas refused to cook anyone's steak medium or well done. It was like, no, you're all eating it medium rare.
Yeah.
So that's how we learned to eat steak medium rare.
Grant Thomas would have been good steaks too.
Oh, beautiful. They were good steaks. Yeah, don't worry about that. So we used to watch movies or go 10-pin bowling and do all these sort of different things with Grant Thomas. And then I was just chatting in off air. I remember in 2004, we started the season 10-0. We were on fire. And then instead of going training one day, we went to the movies. And I'm trying to work out what the movie was called. And I can't remember. I just know it sucked. It wasn't a very good movie. Half the boys wanted to walk out halfway through. And we then proceeded to lose four of our next five games. So that wasn't one of Grant Thomas's better ones. I can't remember the movie for the life of me, but we've got Rui coming in, in the second hour. And Rui remembers everything. I reckon Rui will know the movie that we went and watched that started our losing streak in 2004.
So in no more movies after that.
So no more movies after that. It was scrapped.
Oh, that is good gear. Hey, next, it's time for our barbecues galore grand final quiz.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark and Emma Friedman. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M.
Glad to say that Triple M and Fox Footy superstar and one of Joey's best mates, Nick Riewoldt, has waltzed into the studio. I'll be a little bit early, Rui, because you heard a couple of conversations and you just had to have your piece, which I'll...
Hello, mate.
Morning, Rui.
Morning. Well, Ross Lyon, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late.
Yeah, that's true.
So punctuality, manners are free.
Yep.
Nice.
Rubbed
off. So we're talking before about going to the movies back in 2004, Joey, and you couldn't for the life of you remember what the film was that you went with yourself.
I just know we started the year 10-0. We were flying, and then for whatever reason, Grant Thomas gave us the day off training. We went and watched a movie, and I thought the movie was that bad that we ended up losing four of our next five games. But I could not remember it. I knew Rui would remember it. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, the day after tomorrow. Don't like. Here's the first lesson: is don't go to Joey on anything to do with pop culture because he's hopeless. Anything to do with sport is an encyclopedia. Yep. Music, movies, like trying to do quotes from movies and stuff. He just gets a blank expression on his face. So leave the pop culture stuff to other people. But I remember, yeah, we went along to the movie. Some of Jake Gyllenhaal's finest work.
Oh, beautiful man. I've got the trailer just to get some of the mood of the film.
Yeah,
Hollywood sign.
Lost to explain what is causing this weather and why it has taken them by surprise.
There's a lot of ice.
Kind of apocalyptic, climate changey before climate change, when it was just becoming a thing and they did a movie about it. And so Dennis Quaid, you know, gets on the backpack and he schleps from Washington down to New York to try and rescue his son. And he gets there and they escape down to the warmth of Mexico. It was sort of a reverse border sort of scenario.
Wasn't there at that stage.
Yeah,
so
that's right. It was warm, so they went south for the winter.
I'm struggling to see the football link. Like, were you feeling
no link? There was no link, mate. No link at all. Like, Grant Thomas was very good at finding sort of tenuous links with anything. There was no link here. It was just a day off.
Hence why we lost four of our next five games.
And what were you thinking watching this movie? Like, if there was sort of an Armageddon situation, what would you be doing?
I like those sort of movies because I always like to put myself in that situation. Like, what would I do? How would I survive? You know, zombie type movies. Who would I want?
Who would you eat first?
Who would I want
beside
me?
Who's got the most flesh on the bone?
Joey.
All I remember was Rui was sitting down the front row with the coach. He was the sucks. Oh, this is a great movie, Grant. Fraser Gehrig and all the boys in the back were all trying to sneak out as early as they
did
could.
Did you have a choc top?
Yeah, we would have for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
So who would you take?
Who would I take? Yeah. I'd take Bakes.
I'd
take Bakes. Yeah. If the end of the world was coming, I would... I would zip down to Colac, assuming I could get through the Ring of Steel. I would zip down to Colac, grab Bakes. I'd go to Tassie. I'd try to get down to Tassie. You know, it's got a moat. They've been prepared to use it over this COVID period. And I'd just get him to build stuff. And when the proverbial hit the fan, I'd back him in to protect me because he's that sort of guy.
Yep. And does the same apply for a footy trip? Because I remember, Joe, you were talking about sort of your five favourite teammates to take on a footy trip, and I know you had the skipper, you had Rui in there.
He had me in the list.
I had you in the top five.
Why?
You were underrated on footy trips.
Yeah, why?
Because you used to pay for everything and you used to organise them all because no one else could bother organising anything.
That is true. We actually ran a social experiment one time where we'd organise all the flights and we had a connection, and I said to Joey, okay, let's just walk off this flight here and then we've got to get on another one to go to our next destination. Let's just walk off the plane and stand there and see what happens. And I reckon we stood there for half an hour and the boys were just so used to like, okay, now we've got to go to gate 3A and get on the... We stood there for half an hour until someone finally said, so what are we doing?
Oh, God. Played with a bunch of absolute mick-mocks, you two.
What is the story? Can I ask him, what was the story with Michael Ricks? Because I remember you telling the...
We'll get it after 10 o'clock. We've got to go to the news and find out what's happening with
Jay-Z.
Around
the world.
You told
it on air.
Mate, it's Dead Set Legends. Everything is for on air. A bit of news, plenty going on around Melbourne. We'll chat with Nick Rewald about Grand Final Week coming up. Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark and Emma Friedman.
You're going well when that's your biggest problem, isn't it?
Oh, I know.
I've got to watch too much footy. How good is it? Yes. Oh, damn.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
Joey, you got one of your best mates in the studio and you asked him to do something on the weekend. Hesitant to ask, but go on.
Look, we are speaking, of course, of grand finals and grand final week. And I got home from Dead Set Legends on Saturday, and just after lunch, they're playing the great grand finals all on Fox Footy all week. And it was the 2009 St Kilda v Geelong grand final that happened to be on Jay-Z. The toe poke, the famous toe poke. And I've seen the game. I've watched it a number of times now. I sort of am able to do that and enjoy the game, even though, you know, the result doesn't change every time I watch it. But I decided...
So do you have an emotional reaction to it?
Yeah, I still do. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm a bit of a sicko. I enjoy a little bit of, like, putting myself through it. I just love watching the footy. But I knew that Rui had never, ever seen the grand finals. So I rang him and said, mate, do yourself a favour. It's now been, what are we, 12 years.
Yep.
Sit down and watch the last quarter of the 2009 grand final. So I rang you.
Yeah.
You told me at the time you weren't quite sure whether you were going to do it.
What would I want to do that for? Get stuffed. Oh, you know, that sounds like a great way to ruin my weekend. And then, so I thought, there's no way I'm doing that. Like, no chance at all. I think there must have been like a quarter and a half to go. And then curiosity got the better of me.
Yep.
It just did. It was just gnawing away at me, back of my mind. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to go in. So I flicked it on and there was about 15 minutes to go. And I hadn't seen it. Like, I've seen snippets and the toe poke. But other than that, I've not watched the game. We did watch the game in the preseason. I think we watched the last quarter when we got back at the start of 2010. But, I mean, it was all a bit of a blur.
Mm.
So to sit there and watch it, yeah, I was gobsmacked by how brutal a game of footy it was.
Yep.
And so I probably felt a little bit differently to how I thought I was going to feel. I'd average game in that grand final. I mean, looking at the conditions were unbelievable. But in my mind, I'd built up the fact that I was terrible.
Yeah, and when you look at the stat sheet might not look as big as it usually would for Rui, but when you actually saw that game, how wet it was and how every possession was contested, it was almost impossible for a key forward to have any impact in a game like that.
That's what stood out to me, was just how every possession that was won in that game was contested. There was no free footy anywhere, and so bodies were flying, players were launching, and you focus on sort of your own involvements, and I thought, oh my gosh, like this is unbelievable. Some of the contests, you know, that you're involved in. There was one at the top of the square that I couldn't remember where I was ready to mark the footy. And then Matthew Scarlett just comes flying across the screen, gets a fist in, and it was absolutely brutal. And it did, I think, fill me with a sense of pride rather than the opposite post the game. So
I got a bit emotional
actually after watching it, and we've got a group chat with all the Saints boys through that era. So I flicked out a text and said, oh, you know, I just worked up the courage to finally watch it. Love you guys. You know,
And you know what? Yeah. We are missing each other because usually we do catch up prelim week. Yep. It's become a bit of a tradition for us all because despite not winning that premiership medallion, we feel we've got a bond and a connection, you know, like a premiership team will be tight forever. So we haven't been able to catch up for a couple of years. So then Rui threw his nice little emotional, sentimental message out to all the boys and got all the love and all the replies.
And what was the feedback like?
From the text?
Yeah.
Yeah, like there was some sarcastic ones. There was some emotion. It was like, you know, gee, the Saints were pretty good back in the day. And gee, we were good. Like, what a brutal game. A lot of sort of love hearts and that sort of stuff. So it was really good. But yeah, I mean, it highlighted the fact that when you get to grand final week, and I reckon this game is going to be played in a similar vein, all the tiny little moments that I was looking at thinking, oh, if only there was, you know, there was, you spoke about a mark that Gary Ablett took in the middle of two, like you and Clint Jones. Yeah. It's like, oh, if only I had have just protected the ball when Scarlett was coming in that marking contest a bit better. But that's, you know, you win and lose in those little moments.
You talk to a lot of greats of the game. They say, what's your advice to a Kasiah Pickett or Adam Treloar or whatever? And they say, well, just enjoy it. Just enjoy the game. Enjoy yourself. Did you enjoy either of those grand finals?
What a question,
what
Jay.
A question, I mean, Rui.
They've just handed out the media awards, haven't they?
Yeah.
They're done and dusted. Don't
you
worry.
You should use that in your clip. In your...
So when you went out there, did you feel anxious
I never enjoyed game day, Jay. Like it was always, like, and I wish I could have, but for me it was, I always got so worked up. Like I was a really anxious pre-game person to the point where I drove the boys mad.
In the end, we just avoided you.
Yeah, but that was sort of how I needed to be. I tried the other approach at times and just felt like my head wasn't in the game properly. So I needed to be that way. Yeah. And you know, I was still able to go out, and once the ball was bounced, you're still able to go out and perform and do what you need to do.
Imagine how he would have gone with 2 weeks leading up to a grand final. It would have been torturous for you, Rui. Yeah. You couldn't handle one.
It might have been, but I was actually thinking about this. Like, I think what some of the torture lies in the fact that there's no routine in grand final week. Like, everything gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And you've got to do the parade. You've got to do the media conference. You've got to, you know, you've got to do all these different things. I was a creature of habit. I loved routine. So when that disappeared, it was more challenging. But this week, they put the prelims to bed, and then you've got 2 weeks to sort of just go about preparing. That was all it was for me, is wanting to feel as best prepared as I could.
Nick Riewoldt is our special guest this morning on the program, and you were just talking before, Rui, about how anxious you used to get pre-game, and Joey, you've piped up with a little tidbit, of course.
Oh, no, Rui can tell it because
I'm not self-incriminating.
No, well, he used to get that anxious. That Rui was one that used to go into the toilets just before we'd run out and vomit. It was a regular thing.
No.
It was a regular thing for Rui, just the anxiety getting the better of him. And because he was the skipper, and the final thing you do before you run out, you get in a really tight huddle, and Rui gives his final pre-game address, which was always very good.
Thank you.
But he did have an issue, and I was generally one at the front because I was sort of little and I had to get to the front. His breath would actually, you know, be a bit stinky because he'd have the spew. So we had to give him the feedback and say, Roo man, if you're going to do these speeches after you've had a vomit, can you at least get some mouthwash and a bit of Mentos in there? So for the rest of his career in his locker, true to his word, he'd have his cologne.
Listerine?
He was a cologne man. Yeah, he'd have his Mentos and his mouthwash. You'd have it all lined up. Yeah,
my locker was always immaculate.
You had moisturiser in your locker too.
Yeah, so towel sort of folded down at the base, and then shoes on top, and then get the mouth guard out and pop that on the case, and cologne, deodorant, mouthwash, toothbrush as well.
Yeah,
had the toothbrush and give the teeth a brush, and then packet of Tic Tacs, so I'd just pop in my socks, and out we go.
So what about Joey's locker, though? I want to know what that looked like. What was yours?
I was always pretty neat, too. I was very neat and tidy. The one that wasn't, we won't get into Stevie Baker again, but number 10 next to me, he was the type of guy that would hang the jocks inside out, hang them up on the locker, and wear them again the next day.
He'd get two uses out of one pair. Sometimes three. Sometimes he'd go the double rotation. Stevie Baker, we walked in one day, Stevie Baker. This story might be out there. I'm not sure if...
Do it, mate. Do it. You've got permission.
We're doing it. No, it's...
No, I was listening.
We're not on. It's all right.
So we walked in one day. Blake's had his stops. Remember this?
And he sharpened them.
And he was filing his stops.
Don't tell those stories.
No? Okay.
That was before a grand final, was it? Yeah. That's a grand final story.
I think Stevie Johnson actually
told us.
He might have stood on Stevie Johnson's foot a couple of times.
Oh, so ouch. With the cologne, did you give a little squirt before you went out? No, was that after?
That was a post-game.
Go out and have a couple of beers afterwards. You need to smell good.
Yeah, I was a real party animal, I was. Post-game.
Hey, just a couple of quick little stories. We like to get some sort of untold stories from grand final week, and injury is a big thing. Yep. A lot of players that we don't really know about at the time have to play through significant injury to try and get up. Because it is a grand final, you put it all on the line. Just a quick one example, 2009, Robert Eddy, who was a great teammate of ours, he got dropped for the grand final. Sean Dempster came back into the side. But on grand final morning, he was having breakfast with his mum and dad, thinking it was an emergency. His mum and dad were down. They were going to the game. And Eddie's at breakfast. He got a call from Greg Hutchison, our football manager, saying, Rob, you're playing. Dawson has woken up with food poisoning. Zach Dawson, it looks like he can't play. Mm. You're in. So Rob Eddy, all of a sudden, can you imagine grand final morning getting told you're playing when you think you
were? Even.
He was that excited. He told his parents. He got ready. He got to the ground. And they gave Zach Dawson every opportunity. I think he went and got on the drip for a little bit in the morning, did a fitness test, and he passed. So he ended up playing, but he was really crook, Zach Dawson. Mm. That was 2009. He played a great game that day as well. But then poor Rob Eddy, he told his parents and his family he was playing. They're in the grandstands. They're waiting for their boy to run out. And went, oh, hang on a minute.
Sitting in the tracksuit.
Where's Rob? And he was in the tracksuit. So there's always these little stories that happen. But you've got one yourself that happened in the 2009 grand final.
Nine. It was, yeah. So Thursday session down at Moorabbin, and never seen anything like it. So the crowd...
Packed house
at
Moorabbin. Told the story when we did two warm-up laps because we loved
it. So we finished the first warm-up lap and I said, righto, another lap, boys. One more lap. Anyway, so I was not a big sort of trainer during the week, just managing sort of my knee and some other issues. I would usually do strides or, you know. So, of course, you're running strides along the boundary line. Well, it's like you're in the 400 final at the Olympics. The crowd sort of rise with you as you're running around. And seriously got a little bit carried away to the point where I actually had a bit of a nick in my hip flexor. So a little strain in my hip flexor. So it was quite inhibiting. I couldn't really take off, had no power, no acceleration, and panic sets in. Absolutely panicking. I'm thinking, what have I done? Are you serious? Yeah. Like, I've waited my whole life for this moment. So we went to Box Hill Hospital because we had to go somewhere off Broadway to try and see if we could inject the spot and numb the pain to allow me to be able to take off and play, which We did. But in terms of preparation, you know, 10 p.m. on a Thursday night before the granny, doing strides up and down the corridor at Box Hill Hospital.
Wow.
Not ideal preparation.
So you went out to Box Hill to think you would get recognised.
Well, because if you go to Olympic Park or you go to Jay-Z
and all his crew would have been
Tom Brown. Yeah.
All the dirty media people are sitting
and
out
now
the
you're which one?
Exactly. I've turned to the dark side, Em. But, yeah, like they're the things that you look back on and they add layers, I guess, to the story. Yeah. But
I don't think that got out, did it? Imagine that as a story on the Friday or the day of the grand final. Yep. Nick Riewoldt, superstar captain, late in his fitness test. That would have been a huge out.
That's why we went to Box Hill, off Broadway.
That is an absolute ripper. Hey, Nick, thanks for jumping in.
Yep.
We appreciate your time and we look forward to hearing you across Triple M next year when all the footy takes off as well and across Fox Footy as well.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's a great holiday.
Have a great week. Yeah, we'll do.
Hey, coming up after. Oh, we were meant to ask you who's going to win. Quickly.
What song was that? That was
Roxanne.
Roxanne. Yeah, good. Yeah.
sorry, that was my fault.
D's for me. Just their system. I think they've got more protection and layers to their game than the Dogs. I mean, you look at talent v talent; it's an even contest. Just think the D's system's just a little bit stronger.
Agree. Well, Norm Smith, who's going to win? Norm Smith.
I'll go with Petrarca. I think he gets off the chain a little bit, and if he kicks straight, like he's had so many shots at goal this year, he kicks straight, he wins it.
You're not the first to say that on this show, Rui. Thanks for joining us.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark and Emma Friedman.
It's meant to be a team effort on this show.
No I in team, but there's an I in winner.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
So, Jay, David Teague, has he found himself a new home?
He certainly has. So the former Carlton coach, who was lopped at the end of the season, has found himself at Richmond. And Damien Hardwick, the Tigers coach, confirmed this last night on Fox Footy. And we're really excited about David Teague's appointment. So we touched on this before, they could lose Andrew McWalter potentially to Carlton, who's a very, very highly rated assistant coach. So David Teague comes in and it's a nice landing spot, isn't it, for a guy who's led the Blues through a difficult couple of years. He now goes back to an assistant coaching role, supports Damien Hardwick at a club. Joey, do you think, we'll touch on Robbie Tarrant in a second, are you thinking that Richmond is a premiership contender next year? Have you got them in the top part of your eight for next year? Where do you think the Tigers sit? Yeah, I think they're a fascinating case.
No, I think absolutely they would be around the premiership window, around the premiership mark, you know, with the other teams that that are in there this year, Melbourne, you know, and Brisbane and Port Adelaide, you'd expect. I think Richmond absolutely should be aiming for a top four finish next year. I certainly don't think they're done just yet. I think it's great news for David Teague because clearly you could see the coaching role had worn him down at Carlton. He'd had some things off field as well that were going on. He obviously was under a lot of the pressure and under the pump at Carlton. So I think Richmond's a great spot because it's a really positive coaching environment at Richmond under Damien Hardwick. You know, they're quite relaxed the way they go about things. And he's an excellent assistant coach, David Teague. So I think it's a great get by the Tigers.
It's going to be interesting to see how Dustin Martin comes back too. So we know as part of that injury to his kidney, a lacerated kidney, I should say, he's lost 10 kilograms.
I saw this.
So as part of his recovery, he had to be on a fruit cleansing diet, which boosts his sort of recovery. It's quite common after kidney injury. So Richmond's nutritionists and support staff are helping him slowly put that weight back on, Joey and Emma, because it's apparently something you don't want to do too quickly. It's got to be really staged and staggered, but he wants to come back or play a little bit lighter for next season just to help his running power. But certainly the Tigers are very confident he will make a full recovery. He's certainly not doing any contact work at the moment, but his ball skills and his running, etc., will really ramp up, particularly after Christmas. So it's going to be interesting, the first few photos of Dustin Martin, because we can expect him to be a little bit lighter. And the follow-up to this, of course, is Robbie Tarrant. We touched on this on DSL on Saturday, team, didn't we? So the North Melbourne veteran defender, as we spoke about on Saturday morning, was agonising over that decision. Does he stay at North Melbourne, be that one club player, probably finish out his career in the bottom part of the ladder, or does he join a contender, as we've just discussed, and Richmond? And Damien Hardwick, the Richmond Richmond senior coach, had this to say on Fox Footy last night.
You know, obviously with Dave retiring, we sort of felt we had a need for a bigger bodied type defender, and I think that will allow, you know, Dylan Grimes and Noah Bolter to be a little bit freer down there. You know, Dylan's done an incredible job ever since the retirement of Alex, you know, maintaining that bat six, but he's really capable of playing some really damaging footy for us as well, getting a little bit higher up the ground. So I'm really excited by bringing in Robbie that allow us to explore the avenue of others as well. And I think our forwards are pretty keen to get Robbie out of the North Melbourne team as well, because he does a hell of a job. And yeah, he's been he's 32, but he's missed a lot of footy at the start of his year, and we think he's got some really, really good footy in front of him.
He's 32, yeah. Emma, so they still have got a lot of confidence in his body. Just quick pick one, you can come back to this later, Joey. Who do you think will be the captain of Richmond next year? Pick one player to lead the Tigers, replacing Trent Cotchin for 2022.
I've been on the record to say that I think Jack Graham is ready to be the next captain of the Richmond Football Club. I think he's 24 years old. He's just finished third in the best and fairest. A born leader. They love the way he plays, and I love the way that he plays his football. I think if you're giving it to those other guys that are all sort of around that 30 age mark, it's only a real sort of 1 or 2 year role. I think now's the time to give it to Jack Graham while he's got all those leaders around him, so Cotchin can guide him through it and they can sort of shield him a little bit and take a bit of the heat off him, but really get him to develop and grow into that role as a long-term captain for the football club. I think he's an absolute beauty, Jack Graham, and I'd look to give him the role early next year with the support of those other leaders.
So in extension to that then, and this is a question without notice, is Ben McAvoy still the man for Hawthorn? Because he's someone who's coming to the twilight of his career. Do they have that? Is it Tom Mitchell or is it Jago O'Meara who didn't get the player's vote? Are you, for the Hawthorn fans out there, do you think that Ben McAvoy, who has his teammates' absolute respect?
Yeah, they love him, yeah. But
is it time for a changing of the guard there? I mean, is Tom Mitchell the man? He's probably the obvious one, if not for O'Meara.
Yeah, I don't know. See, they're a hard one, the Hawks, because there's no obvious candidates that jump out. And, and I don't know enough about what, say, Tom Mitchell and Jago O'Meara, who seem pretty obvious on the outside, what they bring internally. I think the one that will get the captaincy will be James Sicily. I think they love Sicily as a captain. Yep. It'll mature him. Whether he's ready for that role next year after having missed a full season, that's probably the one for me. So whether it is maybe McAvoy for one more year, maybe it's a joint role, but I think James Sicily, it'll be the best thing for him and for the Hawthorn Footy Club if he's the next captain.
Did you ever get a look at the ice cream as captain?
Yep, I did a couple of games. I think I was 2 from 2.
How's your speech?
Oh, I can't remember.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M.
Well, 2016 was a big one for Doggies fans, a premiership to saviour, and the club not won a flag since 1954, so it was a big deal. Dale Morris was an integral part of the side, and glad to say he joins us now as we build up to the Bulldogs' appearance on Saturday. Dale, thanks for coming on the program. What a thrill to see your former side make the Grand Final again this weekend.
Thanks for having me. No, it certainly is. I think we're all living the dream here in lockdown in Melbourne. So it's nice to watch the boys go about their business in the final series. And it gives us something to look forward to most weekends, and especially this weekend building up to a grand final. It's what we all need, I think.
Hey, Dale, it's great to talk to you, mate. I still remember the 2016 grand final vividly, and in particular, your moment of absolute heroism. The tackle on Lance Franklin, I think, was absolutely one of the biggest games, or biggest moments of that game, along with it. Tom Boyd goal. And quite incredibly, you played that whole final series with a broken back. So not only are you just taking down probably the best forward we've seen over the past 20 years, you've done so with cracks in your vertebrae. Can you just recap that for us, how sore it was and what you thought in that moment as Lance Franklin threatened to turn and take the game away from you guys?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I mean, you talk about moments in finals, especially grand finals, and that's what the game's made up of. If you can win your fair share or the majority of those moments, those key moments in that game, then it goes a long, long way for you winning. And I had my moment, and it took my moment. But there are other moments during the game. You look Shane Biggs and that half forward flank to lock the ball in was incredible. Liam Picken doing Liam Picken things. Zane Cordy laid a crunching tackle in the first quarter, which took the wind out of Hanbury. You know, there was all these key moments throughout the game that everyone took. And, the tackle on Buddy was pretty cool. I actually thought I'd cost us the game before that. But as the ball was exiting our forward 50, I was in a really good position on Buddy. But the Sydney Swans player further up the field was able to sidestep our guy. And I've gone from a great position to the worst position. Buddy had a run at the footy, and they kicked it to him. And I'd done my research on Buddy, and I did notice that when he went for overhead marks, he tended to double grab at times. He'd tap the ball down and take a chest mark because he wasn't great at the overhead marks.
Yep.
And I was out of position, but I knew that if he did try and take a double grab, I had to be there to swat the ball away. And lo and behold, he did, and I was able to get the ball away and a contest and shoot. And Buddy ran out to the middle of the ground, and I stayed at the back of the contest. I didn't want anyone coming through, but they handballed the ball to Buddy, and I thought, I've stuffed up here. Buddy's in the middle of the ground all by himself. He's going to reel around on his left, and he's going to kick that ball inside 50, and they're going to get a goal. So I just put my head down and chased him as fast as I could because I didn't want to cost us the grand final. And, yeah, it all worked out pretty well. Got the tackle, and thank goodness Boydie picked it up because I was knackered.
Yeah,
and I can't kick over a jam tin. So Boydie launched it from inside the square, and I had the best seats in the house. Like that ball, it arced, and it was like someone was just pulling that ball into the goal square, and it just kept turning in the air. And when it bounced, I thought it bounced straight up, and I saw a Sydney player going for it, so I thought it was going to be touched. But then I saw the crowd just erupt behind the goals, and I looked at Boydie, and there's Toby McLean on Boydie's shoulders, and I was like, that was pretty cool. That was pretty special.
And how sore were you?
Yeah, the back, by the time we got to the grand final, the back had settled down a lot. I fractured the transverse process, two transverse process in my lower back. So they're the wings on your spine. And I unfortunately snapped two of them in the last game of the year. And as the games, we got deeper into the finals, the back felt better and better. So it was still, I had to have some effective pain management to get through the game, and landed on my back quite heavily early in the game. But honestly, it was the best it felt. There was still a bit of pain there and in some movements, but when the adrenaline's pumping and it's a grand final, you don't feel these things. And we had a lot of guys that carried injuries throughout that final series, and without that bye before the finals, probably would not have got up to play.
It's the voice of Dale Morris, 2016 Premiership star, of course, gone into folklore for the tackle on Buddy and playing with a broken back. And you were just chatting about injuries, and we were chatting to Nick Riewoldt earlier, but we're also talking about coaches and the themes that they come up with. And Luke Beveridge is a fascinating one. We know that he's always been a coach that's a storyteller and had themes. We've heard about the Hunters and Collectors and the musical instruments. And I referenced earlier, it sounds like there's a bit of a theme this year about Shawshank Redemption. He's using that movie as a bit of a storytelling for the situation they're in this year. What was Luke Beveridge like as a coach, and in particular with regards to his storytelling and themes?
You get a bit of a history lesson and an education session before you get run out to play with these.
Just what you need.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be the hardest part of coaching. Bevo was able to keep it fresh, interesting, and engage with guys like myself into their 30s and kids at 18-year-olds. So it would be an amazingly hard job to think of these themes each week, especially in finals. And now in this day and age, when everyone's got everything at the touch of their fingers, they can find out what they want when they want. But he is just able to hook the players in, hook the group in with these messages, these themes, whatever it is he comes across. And he can find the most simplest of things and turn it into something powerful, like a movie, Shawshank Redemption. He went with against Port Adelaide. I don't think they'd be going with the same theme coming into the grand final. Bevo likes to change it up. In 2016, it was all about bring your instruments. And he hadn't used that for forever. We hadn't heard that. But that was something that he went with for the grand final. And it was to bring your instruments for the game. Bring your strengths. Bring what you're good at. And put it all together. And you end up making something pretty special.
I could listen to you all day, Dale, to be honest. I love these stories.
We want to find out what this year's message is, and hopefully we do post-grand final, and we can recap on that. But, Dale, we can't let you go without a tip. Who's going to win? What's the margin? And who's got the Norm Smith?
Oh, you can't go past the Doggies, can you?
No.
When we get the first week of the prelim, again, watched Melbourne just smash Geelong. I thought, oh, dear, look at Melbourne. They're looking strong. And then we came out and did the same thing against Port. And it's just great to see the two top teams of the year playing off in a grand final. So I'm going with the Doggies. I'm going to go with 38 points for some reason.
Wow.
And I'm going to go with, you can't go past Bont for the Norm, can you?
Yeah.
I think if Bont gets on top and has that good of a game, it goes a long, long way for us winning. So I'll go with the Bont.
A terrific chat, Dale. We really appreciate your time this morning on the program.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks mate. Dale.
And because we heard Dale talking about that goal, can we hear BT?
Oh, please. Yes. Come on, let's go. Speak about folklore.
Tackle by Morris. Goal! Dropping the ball. Boyd took the advantage and played on from inside the centre square. Boyd kicked a goal. Boyd kicked a goal from inside the centre square. From inside the centre square.
Drop the magic.
The best ever.
Cool. Ever. Oh, that is sensational stuff.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M.
We've spoken about Geelong's list before after they obviously haven't made a grand final here in 2021, but let's look forward to 2022 and this ageing list, boys. Need your thoughts.
It's one of the biggest questions in the game, isn't it? What path does Geelong go down from here? And I think the common perception, Joey, is that the Cats might be falling over the cliff. So as I understand it, I think Geelong is still pretty keenly pursuing a premiership next year and not necessarily top up, but we'll reload again for a top four berth and you see what happens from there. I mean, we're probably having this chat back in 2018, and since then they've gone prelim, grand final, prelim, and here we are having the same discussion with the oldest list in the competition. You've done a lot of analysis on this. What do you think, what is in store for Geelong in 2022? And if you put your list management cap on for a second, what do you think of the big calls they should make?
Look, I think absolutely Geelong have to go to the well again while they've got this playing group and try and win the flag. I can't get this notion that, well, they've got to the prelim, they've got to a grand final, they've got to another prelim and they haven't won it. So that's it, they're no good. You just sort of get rid of everybody and start again. You mean you've got to get to a prelim to give yourself a chance of winning premierships, and then things can happen. Your bit of luck goes your way, you know, you never know. So I think absolutely Geelong should be going to the well with this group again, because we still know they've got their stars that are all contracted and still all have at least 1 year of good football left in them. When you think about Blitzarves and Tui and Smith, Menegola, Hawkins, Dangerfield, Duncan, Guthrie, Selwood's maybe one that's probably getting on a little bit, but he's still absolutely worth the spot in that best 22. And I just think with a couple of subtle adjustments to their positions, and maybe they've still got some growth out of a lot of players. I mean, Radigalia and Jeremy Cameron can get better. Narkel, Myers, Jack Henry is still up and coming. Tom Stewart, as well as a few others. I think absolutely they should reload and go again. And I have a look at this list, and I think if they can add one or two pieces, make some adjustments, as I said, with some positions, I think they can absolutely be a chance for top four again next year. Can I throw up one name that there's been a bit of talk? So Luke Dunstan is on the outer at St Kilda. They're not going to re-offer him a contract. A club like Geelong could get him for nothing. They don't have to give up any draft picks. They wouldn't have to pay him a lot of money.
Yep.
For me, that might help Geelong's midfield. If you put Luke Dunstan in the middle, Mark O'Connor can become more of a midfielder. I would put Isaac Smith and Tui to the halfback flanks and maybe move Joel Selwood to a wing.
Yep.
And let him finish his career, a bit like what Angus Brayshaw has done at Melbourne, where he's playing a really sacrificial but important role for the team, and allow maybe, you know, Mitch Duncan to play as a more permanent midfielder, get some other guys in there. You've still got Radigalia and Cameron and Hawkins in that forward line, and the back line is still rock solid. I think Geelong are absolutely up to their eyeballs next season.
You think at three-quarter time or into the third quarter in that last round game against Melbourne, they did lead by, 30-40 points. So at that point, we weren't saying, geez, this Geelong side has done. And I think what can be underplayed too is what happened in the medical room. Well, not so much in the medical room, but with injuries this year. I mean, you think that Cameron missed about 10 games. Mitch Duncan with
that. So important to them.
With the knee. I mean, Tom Stewart, was out for finals as well.
And Mark O'Connor, who plays such an important role as well, missed a lot of footy. Yep. Zach Tui missed some games.
Dangerfield as well. So how do you rate some of the youngsters then? So we know Jordan Clark is talking to Fremantle and he might go, but what can they expect from Sparkle Knuckle? How do you rate Max Holmes? Is there some growth there that Geelong fans can get, can look forward to? Because we're talking about movies early. Willy Wonka and the
Chocolate Factory.
Yes, Chocolate Factory, right. Yeah. I feel like that's the Geelong fan. You're in Charlie's Chocolate Factory, but like Augustus Gloop, you want too much and you get sacked up and you get out of there. Like, this is a bit of a crazy analogy, but I think Geelong is in that, you know, there's rivers of chocolate everywhere. Enjoy that part rather than looking for the negative. But are those green shoots, are you excited by those?
Well, I am. They've still got improvement. As I said, like Atkins and Buse in the back line and Tom Stewart and Jack Henry can all get better. Parfitt can get better. Narkel can get better. Radigalia and Jeremy Cameron, as I said, have got upside. You've got Holmes and Close, young Kruger. Young Sam De Koning is going to be a beauty. I mean, he's a star. Zach Guthrie played a couple of good games, and they've still got a first-round draft pick in Cooper Stevens that we haven't seen. So for me, there's enough young talent there. Blood a few of them. Alter their game plan a little bit, make some adjustments, And absolutely, they should go to the well once again. I just don't have this notion of just getting rid of everyone. Chris Scott's got 1 year to go on his contract. Let that play out.
Chips
go
in.
Go all in, chips in.
Yep.
Then at the end of next year, if it all doesn't happen,
blows up,
then maybe new coaching potential, new players, and start again.
And with Emma, the home ground advantage. I mean, Geelong has just won 90% of its games down there, so you know they're going to have a pretty strong result through the regular season.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Joey, Jay and Emma are back tomorrow from 9 with more of Triple M's Dead Set Legends Grand Final Week Edition.
You have a great day.